I'm glad that you're with us this morning. You probably, if you've been here before, you know this seems a little bit different than me coming up here. And some of you, we had emailed and told that to be here early, not that we have a tendency to be late, but to let you know that you wanted to be here because we're going to do something totally different. Now, you may have thought that I was going to get up and do some sort of rousing chorus of pants on the ground, but I'm not. It's just simply that we're going to preach and have our message early, and then we will have the ability to worship together in music after, because this celebration is going to be different because we not only have our message, but we have some people that are going to be going through and being baptized, reaffirming their faith, joining the church. It's just an exciting day for us as a church. And so we're in a series where we're talking about awakening and how we're called to awaken to the power of God that's inside of us. And we are called to awaken to the fact that God has placed His Spirit in us, has given us incredible potential, and how we can live that out. Now, in a practical matter, to take any step, it requires us to leave where we're at. I mean, just physically as we walk, it takes us to take a step. We have to leave our present position. And the same is true with faith. That as we journey in faith, to take steps of faith, it often requires us to leave our current situation, to leave our past behind us. And that is often a struggle that so many of us have in the life of the church. So many of our struggles, in spiritual struggles, deal with us leaving behind the mistakes that we've made, us leaving behind the hurt that people have afflicted on us, or us leaving behind our ability to, or our past experiences of hurting other people. I told some people the other night at our open house at our office that, and I'm fairly open with y'all on what I watch on TV and things like this, not always proud of it, but I was sharing with them the other night that Claire and I watched the season premiere of High School Reunion. Not a show that I recommend, but we did watch it the other night. I hardly watch anything after 10 o'clock, but we found ourselves watching that show. And if you've ever seen this show, it's a group of people that come together 10, 20 years after they graduate high school. And this group was there. They had graduated from 20 years ago. And it was just amazing to me that some people, the popular people in their class, still looked at the people who were not so popular as being inferior to them. And the people who were not quite as popular as the popular people still had feelings and emotions that were caught up in the same emotions that they had when they were in high school. And I'm thinking, this is 20 years, and yet you're still subjected to that same emotion. And we can sit here and say, well, that's not reality. And, you know, even though it's called a reality show, they kind of make everything look the way you want it to look. But you would not believe so many of us struggle with that. Is how do we move forward? How do we move forward and glorify God when we're still dealing with ramifications of childhood and past mistakes that we've made in marriages and things that we've done with our children? It just how do we move forward with regards to that? And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. It's a problem that we all face. How do we deal with our mistakes? And what I want us to do is I want us to look at a scripture. And before we get to that, I kind of want to let you know what's going on in this passage that we're going to be looking. If you've got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the fourth chapter of John. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what's going on when we get to this. That John records in this scripture a story of Jesus traveling from Judea to Galilee. And as he travels from Judea to Galilee, you have to remember that the Pharisees were beginning to hear of stories about Jesus. Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. So the Pharisees were the experts. They were the ones that were kind of in control. And they were beginning to hear stories that Jesus was preaching some things, saying some things, and doing some things that kind of caused their power to kind of be waning a little bit. And so we have to understand that they were probably not as fond of Jesus as we might be today if we were around him. So Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee, and this experience was going on with the Pharisees. Now, he wasn't like on the lam or anything at this point in time, but he probably was avoiding the Pharisees. He was probably avoiding the confrontation that was inevitably going to happen and did, in fact, happen. That this would be one of Jesus' reasons for going through the area of Samaria. There was no geographical reason for him to have to go through Samaria. So we can look and see that this was part of God's plan. I mean, he wasn't simply moving through out of expediency. He was following God's will. The scripture tells us, when we get to this, that it tells us that he had to go through Samaria. So he had to go through this particular region. And I think that was God's plan, because the scripture later says that it was he could see people who worshiped in spirit and in truth. So at noon, Jesus stops outside this town of Sychar. Jesus stops and sits at this well. Now, you have to understand again that this is the hottest part of the day. Would not have probably been the best time to travel. And so he goes and he sits outside this town and sits at the well. Now, the fact that he was traveling at noon highlights probably, again, his desire to kind of avoid the confrontation with the Pharisees. But what I want to point to this morning is the woman that he meets at the well. She's there at noon, at the hottest part of the day, when most of the people would go and draw water much later in the day when things were much cooler. Because you see, she was also trying to avoid the people. She knew that her sin was public. And so she was trying to avoid the women in the town who would not have liked her, because she had married many men in the town, may have had relationships with others. But all of this, she would have wanted to avoid all of the conflict that would have been taking place with all of the people in town. So she every day traveled up to the well carrying her water jar to avoid the reality of her past mistakes. And then she encounters Jesus Christ sitting at the well. And we'll get to the encounter in a minute, but I want to jump to the very end of the encounter. Because at the end of the encounter, after she encounters Jesus, look at what the Bible says in verse 28. It says, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town." What was this water jar? I brought one up here. Hers would have been much bigger and much heavier. The water jar would have been her reminder every day of her sin. Every day she had to carry that on her shoulder. She had to walk up to the well. She always had to go at the hot part of the day so she could avoid anybody, because they would know what she had done. She had to do this each and every day. So this water jar became the symbol of her mistakes. It became the symbol of every bad decision she had made. And the scripture says when she encountered Jesus, she left the water jar and she went back to town. She literally puts down and walks away from the very thing that reminds her of her past mistakes. That's what you see. As you see people who are being baptized today, when they are professing their faith, they are walking away from every past mistake. When you see people reaffirming their faith and saying that God's working in their life and they're doing something new, that God's doing something new in their life, they are reminding themselves that they are walking away from their past mistakes. When you see people joining the church, they are proclaiming that they are a part of a community of faith, and it is a body of faith that is going to help them every day put their water jar down. And it's a reminder to all of us who are already members or maybe here for the first time. It's a reminder to us that we have the ability to lay down our jar every single morning. We have the ability to lay down that thing that reminds us of the mistakes that we've made. I mean, I don't know about you, but I often try to pick them back up. I go through my week, I leave here, and I'm excited on Sunday mornings, and then I leave here, and by Tuesday, if not Sunday afternoon, but by Tuesday, you know, all of a sudden this insecurities come back up, or the tendency to remember the struggle that I have, ongoing struggles with forgiveness, the tendency to to not be as caring. Those are all tendencies that I have within myself that I have to remind myself that I'm going to live by Paul's words that you find in Philippians 3. Let me share this passage with you. In Philippians 3, verse 13, it says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. It doesn't tell us that Paul has already reached his prize. It doesn't tell us that Paul has already gained this Christ-likeness. It just simply says that Paul is going to forget what's behind him, that Paul is going to forge ahead. Paul is going to press forward in trying to grow into his faith. That means that Paul is not going to be content with where he's at. And Paul is not going to let his past stop him. Paul is going to always remember to look ahead, to realize that God has bigger things and greater things for each one of us. That's what Paul tells us in this scripture. If we're truly going to awaken to the power that God lies in us, if we're truly going to awaken to what God can do in us as a body of faith, we have to be aware that God desires something greater for us. We have to be aware that God has great potential for each one of us. Now, how do we do it? I think that's the question. And when you sit there and think, that's great, but how do we do that? That's why the story of this woman at the well is a great story for us to see. One of the greatest things that we see about her is she is willing to go and tell people her story. She's willing to go and, after she encounters Jesus, she's willing to go and share her mistakes. She's willing to go and share what God has done in her life. Look at this in verse 29. She goes to the town and she says, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? Think about that. She goes back to the town. She goes back to the very people that she was trying to avoid. She goes back to the very people that know her sin. She goes back to the very people who probably ridiculed her, who humiliated her. She goes back to the people that she was doing everything she could to avoid, that she was reminding herself every day of the mistakes she's made just so she wouldn't encounter them. She went back to them. She went back to them and told them what Jesus had done in her life. Do you do that? Do you follow the woman at the well? Because here's the reality. What we're going to see today is we're going to see today the truth, and that's the big T truth, the truth that God changes people's lives. You're going to see people stand before you and profess faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. You're going to see people who stand up and say, even though I've been in the church a good many years, God's doing something new in my life. You're going to see people who bring their children forward and say that I believe that God is working in this child's life today and there's no time in their life that they don't need the grace of God. You're going to see people who God has laid on their hearts to join a church. You're going to see change take place in this midst, and it's amazing to be in the midst of what God is doing. Over the last few weeks, I just have been amazed at how God is bringing together a community. You may not even realize it. I mean, it's not a community just, hey, how you doing? It's a community where people really feel the presence of prayer in their lives. And that's not necessarily true for all of us at this point in time, but we're all at different places in the journey. But I'm watching people that are reaching out to others. Yesterday, we had somebody come for setup that we were sitting set up, and somebody else walks in and brings a box of clothes because they had been aware that another family in the church had just gotten two foster children. They don't even know each other. But you see this connection to where God is working. God is changing our hearts. God's changing our lives. And the problem that we have, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to be like the woman at the well and go out and tell people that God is in our midst, that God is working in our lives, that God's changing us? See, we can sit here and we can enjoy the worship, but the gospel message is very consistent that we are called to go and tell people. We live in a world that is in dire need of knowing that there exists a thing called Christian community. We live in a world that is in need of knowing that God cares for them. We live in a world that needs to know that in the midst of all of the tragedy that you see on TV, and I mean, you can sit and watch CNN for days of the tragedies going on in Haiti, that in the midst of all of this, God is working. Do you tell people? Are you going to be like the woman at the well and share your story? Now, another thing that we see in this woman is that she's very realistic of her life situation. Look at the 17th verse. In the 17th verse, she says, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband." Now, I want you to think about this woman and Jesus. Jesus is traveling. He's subject to all of the humanity that we would be subject to. So in the heat of the day, he would be tired. He would look weary. He would be sitting by the well, thirsty. And here comes this woman, carrying her water jar up to the well, expecting to see no one because she's trying to avoid people. Surprised that Jesus is there, and even more surprised that he would talk to her because she was a Samaritan. And he was a Jew. I mean, she tried to avoid everything she could to let people know what she had done. And even though it was public in there, she wouldn't want to reveal herself. She would try to hide who she is. And we do that, don't we? I mean, we come to church and we present a good image. I mean, we act as though we have everything together, and then we go back home and we struggle. In our marriages, we struggle raising our kids. We struggle with work. We struggle with finances. We struggle with all of these areas of our lives, but we don't want to open those up. We want to keep those hidden. But in the presence of Christ, this woman who had spent her life trying to hide her sin gets to the place that she's able to say to Jesus, "I am what I am. I made the mistakes. Here's what I've done." We have that same ability. We have that same ability to stand before God and to say, we're not always faithful to God. We cheat. We lust. We lie. We neglect the relationships that we know are most important to us. We have that ability. But what we see in this story, even though this woman was doing everything she could to avoid telling who she really was, that when she got to that point with Jesus, when she got to that point that she could bare her soul and she could say, "This is who I am. These are the mistakes that I've made," Jesus accepts her. Jesus, in fact, reveals more about himself than maybe he had at any point in time to his disciples, to a woman who had sinned, which shows us that all of our sin, Jesus is willing to take. Jesus is willing to take all of our sin if we will just get to that place that we can say and acknowledge that we have a need for Jesus Christ in our life. And then, when we get to that place that we can acknowledge that, look what John 8 says. John 8, verse 32 says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That, again, is what we see in baptism. We see the fact that people are able to acknowledge the human condition, to acknowledge that we're sinners, and to accept the freedom and the power that Jesus Christ offers us to overcome sin. Doesn't make us perfect, but it gives us the freedom and the power of Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ and ask Jesus into our heart, the problem is that we often begin to focus entirely on ourselves. We think, what does this mean to us? And what's my purpose? How do I glorify God? All good questions, and it's all questions that we should ask. But not at the expense of asking the question, how has God changed my life? What has God done that has brought about this transformation? See, that's what we see. It's one of the great things about the story of the woman at the well is that she knows what God has done. Imagine Imagine how this world would be as if we as Christians, as we are people of faith, were going into the world, and we were saying, I struggle in my marriage. But what I know is that God is helping me and creating a desire in me to work on my marriage. Imagine a world if we could go into the world and we could say, you know what? I struggle with finances. I don't understand how it's all going to work, but God has created in me a desire to be more giving. Imagine in a world if you could go and you could say, you know what? I lost somebody very important to me, and it's painful, and I don't understand how it works, but all I know is that God has brought people into my life right now that are helping me feel comforted. Or I'm ill and I'm tired, but every day God gives me the strength to wake up and to get up. Imagine a world if we as a church could be realistic about our situation and be realistic about what God is doing. That's what we see at the woman at the well. If you go back and look in the 107th Psalm, in the 107th Psalm, the psalmist writes these words. Look at the first and second verse. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say this. And we are the redeemed. If we profess faith in Jesus, we are redeemed. But what you don't realize, if you read that passage, let the redeemed of the Lord say this, the passage goes on to say, I was hungry, and God fed me. I was thirsty, and God gave me something to drink. I was wandering around, and God led me to a place that I was more stable. It goes on to say that let the redeemed of the Lord say this, that God saved me. God redeemed me. God healed me. What's God done in your life? Do you tell people? Do you tell people the change that God has brought about in your life? Why is it important? Look at the next verse. In chapter 4, verse 30. In John 4, 30, it says, they came out of the town and they made their way toward him. You see, the reality is, results happen. People come to know him. In this one lady, she shared her faith and the faith of the community grew. They believed in him. And she shared what God had done in her life. The question you have to ask is, are you sharing your story? Are you sharing what God has done in your life? Look at what Jesus tells us in Mark 2. When Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. The world is waiting for us to tell them how God's changed our life. If we're going to awaken to the power, we can't be so afraid to talk about our struggles and to talk about what God has done in our life. The woman at the well told people. Do you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We acknowledge that we don't often tell people the struggles that we have in our lives. And Lord, I pray for each one of us. We know that each one of us in here struggle with our own particular sins. But I also am certain, Father, that you are already working in their life. And I pray, Father, that you can give us the courage to be about the task of sharing that change. To be about the task of letting people know of the radical change that you bring about. So that in the midst of their hurting world, they have a hope for a future. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.